time when this prayer was first modeled for us by the Lord Jesus Christ, the lifestyle of the day was very different to our day now, isn't it? There were many workers in the first century who were paid a day at a time. They received a day's wages, not a week's wages, not a month's wages, but they received a day's wages. And the great problem with that is if you, for some reason, have to miss work for a day or two, then suddenly you've run out of money. Suddenly you're in a very precarious position. Maybe you get injured. Maybe there's some other problem and you can't work. And all of a sudden, you've literally got no food for the day. And here in this situation, the need for daily bread was very apparent for many of the poorer people, particularly those who were following Jesus. At the time, many of them came from very poor backgrounds. Well, as we think more about this prayer, give us this day our daily bread. There are several things I think that this prayer teaches us, four in particular. And they teach us something about God, teach us things about ourselves, they teach us things about what we should be praying for. The first thing that I think that we're taught from this little line of the prayer, give us this day our daily bread, is very simple. You could all tell me this for yourselves. It's this, it's our God is a God who gives. Our God is a God who gives. It's a wonderfully simple thing that's very encouraging to remind ourselves from. There are some people who think that our God is a God who demands. Well, God does demand. That's part of his character and his nature as well. He does demand things from us. But that's not all who he is. He's also a God who gives. And God gives far more than he demands. He gives far more than he demands. Do you remember some of the verses that we read from Matthew chapter 6 and Matthew chapter 7 earlier on, particularly from Matthew chapter 7? Everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. To him who knocks, it will be opened. What man is there among you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? And then verse 11 of Matthew chapter 7, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? You see, our God is a God who gives, and a God who gives good things. And what's the basis on which God gives? Does God give on the basis that we deserve it? Does God give on the basis, well, we've worked really hard, and therefore he better give us something just to keep us happy, or just so it kind of does what's required? That's not at all what the Bible says, is it? These are gifts, not wages, remember, that God is giving. What's the basis on which God gives? Well, he gives because he's our Father. It's on that basis. As a father loves his children and so gives good gifts, that's the basis on which God gives. It's a reminder at the outset, isn't it, that this is a prayer for those, if I can put it like this, who are children of God, for those who've been adopted into God's family. There are all kinds of people, sadly, around the world who've rejected God, who've pushed God out, who don't want to relate to God, who don't want God as their father, who don't want God, in other words, to have some degree of authority over them. You know, that's part of what it means to be a father, isn't it? You've got authority over your children as they're growing up, and to a certain extent, you set the rules. Now, there's much more to fatherhood than that. Care for our children, we show compassion to them, we provide for them, we teach them and discipline and all those things. But if that's our relationship with God, then he is our Father. And if that's our relationship with God, where we understand that he's in authority over us, it's in that relationship, in that context, that he gives us these things. Now, if we're to understand how God gives, we need to understand one or two important points. I read in one of the commentaries about a film. I confess I hadn't even heard of the film, never mind watched it, but it was a good illustration, so I'll pass it on. But in this film, there's a man whose wife is quite a religious person. And every day, therefore, when they have a meal, his wife leads prayers around the meal table. But then comes the time when his wife passes away. And he sort of feels that for the sake of his wife, he ought to continue this family tradition. But he doesn't really know how to pray or what to say. And he's quite a simple man. He's a farmer. And he says in his prayer, Lord, I thank you for the food that you've given to us. We've planted it, and we've watered it, and we've pulled the oxen, and we've done, but we thank you for the food that you've given to us. And he recognizes something of a contradiction here. Hang on, we're thanking God for this, but actually, I've done it all. I've done everything. And there's something of a contradiction in his mind. Well, we need to understand that the way in which God gives us our daily bread is not by sending a baker round to the front door every morning with a basket of bread ready for us, is it? Maybe very occasionally that does happen. Some of you will know about George Muller. George Muller has long gone to glory now, but in the Victorian times, he ran a series of orphanages in the Bristol area. And he's got some marvelous stories of the way in which God has helped him in that. Actually, two of my great aunts grew up in Muller's orphanage after their father had died in an accident. And in my grandmother's diary, there's a little note in my grandmother's diary that says, Grace, that's one of my great aunts, told me one Christmas in the orphanage they had nothing much to eat. And this particular Christmas Eve, they found a big basket of bread in the porchway. Now, that's typical of stories that come from Muller's orphanage. But we have to understand, it's not normally like that. Those are the exceptions and not the rules. I'm sure many of us would have stories of surprising ways in which God has answered prayer and things have just turned up out of the blue. God is more than able to do that, and we don't exclude that from our praying. But it's not the normal way in which God works. The normal way in which God provides our daily bread is through the work that we do. God gives us strength, for example, in order to work, in order that we can feed ourselves and our family. And that strength that we have from God is part of the answer to this prayer. We can't merely just sit back and think that God should just send gifts around to us and deliver them on a platter. That's no good for us. No, God gives in all kinds of different ways, often by giving us strength, often by helping us to work for ourselves. But our God is a God who gives. Our God is a God who gives. The second thing that we can learn from this simple prayer is this. Not only is our God a God who gives, but our God wants us to pray for one another. Our God wants us to pray for one another. Do you notice what it says here? The second word, give us this day our daily bread. We're not taught by Jesus to say, give me this day my daily bread. That's not what Jesus teaches us, is it? He says, give us this day our daily bread. And there's a very obvious reminder here that often, sadly, our prayers are selfish ones, aren't they? We find it so easy to pray for things for ourselves. And we're asking ourselves constantly, well, what do I want? Even, what do I need? But that's not what Jesus teaches us here. He doesn't teach us to ask, what do I want? Certainly. He doesn't even teach us to ask, what do I need? But he teaches us to ask, what do we need? We need to make sure our praying is not an individual prayer. Our praying needs to be corporate. Our praying needs to be corporate. Now, we struggle with this so much in our society today. We're so used to being individualistic. We're so used to getting everything on demand, just as we want it, personalized, just for us, that we find it so hard to pray for somebody more than ourselves. But the important thing here is not even that we should be praying for other people. That's not just what Jesus is saying. If you come to the prayer meeting on Wednesday, and I'd certainly encourage you to do that, not this week because it's on Tuesday, but normally come on Wednesday at 7 o'clock to pray. And very often we'll pray for other people in the church. And it's great to be able to do that. It's right that we do that. And part of what's being said here is that we do need to pray for other people, for other people's needs. But actually, Jesus is saying more than that. He's saying more than you should pray for, just plucking some names at random, Tom or Peter or Frieda or Margaret or whoever it may be. We shouldn't just be praying for those individuals, because that's still an individualistic prayer, do you see? We should be praying for us. We should be praying for me and others all in one go. So let me ask you, perhaps sometimes you pray for the church. It's really easy to be tempted to pray for what I want and what I think I need in the church. We all have our own different foibles and we all have our own different needs too. And it's easy to make them the subject of our prayers. And maybe sometimes we realize, well, we shouldn't do that. We shouldn't just pray for what I want. Let's try and open up the prayer. And then we pray for individual people. And it's better that we do that, certainly, than we just pray for ourselves. But better still to ask the question, well, what does God want for all of us? What does God want for us as a church? What do we as a church need? It's really powerful to be able to think through and to pray that. What do we need to include ourselves and others together? Not just to pray for ourselves and then just to pray for others, but to pray for us. What do we need as a church? Maybe you pray for your family. Your families has different needs in your family, and sometimes maybe you're praying for children to be converted. Maybe there's a particular worry, perhaps a member of your family is serving overseas in the army. Maybe there's another people in your family who are going through marital difficulties, and maybe some others through financial difficulties, or maybe there's an illness here. We should absolutely be praying for all of those things, if they're needs. We should be praying for those things. But we should also be praying, well, what do we as a family need? Let's pray for our families. We can do the same at all kinds of different levels. What about our nation? What does our nation need? Not what's my politics, what do I want? It's very easy, isn't it, to think, well, I pray for a government that's going to lower the taxes for me, because that'd be better for me, or I'll pray for the government that will give me this kind of benefit. They're going to bring in this benefit, and that's better for me, because I'll qualify for that. But to ask instead, well, what does our nation need? And not merely what do I want, but what does our nation need? Let's pray for that. So God, you see, wants us to pray for one another. Not just prayers for ourselves. We can certainly pray for ourselves, but not just that. Not just prayer for other individuals. We can certainly pray for them, but not just that. But also prayers for us. We prayers, if I can put it like that. Our God is a God who gives. Our God wants us to pray for one another. Thirdly, from this prayer, our God can be relied on every day. Our God can be relied on every day. Here's the prayer again. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. When you read the commentaries on this verse in the prayer, there's a big debate over what the word translated daily means. And if you look at some of the really intellectual commentaries, there's paragraphs and paragraphs on what this word means. And it's quite interesting reading all this stuff. And the reason that no one's really sure what it means is they couldn't find this word in the original Greek language used anywhere else at all. In fact, there were lots of people who thought that Jesus had made the word up, and it must have some super spiritual special significance. It's such a very important special word because it doesn't occur anywhere else. And they looked in all these Greek manuscripts, and they looked at Homer and all these other people trying to go through all this amazing ancient literature, trying to find this word so they could work out what it meant. And they couldn't find it anywhere, this word. Eventually, somebody found the word on a scrap of parchment somewhere. As they were digging out, doing archaeology, they found this scrap of parchment, and on it was the word that they'd all been looking for, literally for centuries, to find out what it really meant. Do you know where they found the word? Well, it wasn't in Plutarch or Homer or any of the famous Greeks. It was on a woman's shopping list. They found this word, that she was going to go out and get the food she needed for that day. That's the word. That's what Jesus is saying to us here. He wants us to pray for the things that we need today. It's a very ordinary prayer, you might say. A very ordinary prayer. But it really goes against maybe what many of us kind of believe deep down. I think many of us think when we pray, well, I'll pray for this. I've got this particular need. I'll pray for it. And maybe we believe that God will answer that prayer. So we pray for this need, and then we sit back and we stop praying because we've prayed for it. And it's almost as if we kind of imagine that God's going to give us a big dollop of answer to that prayer. So maybe there's a family situation going on, really struggling to deal with it. It's a big issue. It's really tough. So we pray, Lord, will you help me to deal with this situation? Lord, this is something that our family needs. Will you answer our prayer? And we almost have this idea as somehow God's going to kind of give this big dollop of answer, and that's it, done. We can stop praying then. The prayer's been answered. And then we scratch our heads and we wonder, we think, well, hang on, God hasn't answered our prayer. And what we forget is that God has answered our prayer. He's answered our prayer for that day. He's answered our prayer, and he's given us our daily bread. Now, he hasn't delivered a kind of a month's supply so that we don't have to pray for that thing for the next month. But he's answered our daily need. He's got us through the day. And that's very often how God answers our prayers. And very many of the times when we think to ourselves, well, God hasn't answered my prayer yet, we forget that our prayers are daily prayers, and God answers our prayers daily. And as we're praying for things, maybe we're removed from the situation and we don't exactly know what's going on in a situation. And maybe there are small daily answers to our daily prayers that together mount up and really radically change the problem. But they're daily answers to daily prayers. Prayer's not really the sort of thing where you can go to God, put down everything you need, and then not have to worry about him for another month or another week. That's not how God responds. God wants us to come to us every day. Now, why does God want that? Well, I think there's many different reasons. At Easter, I don't know how long ago Easter was. Was it a month or a couple of months ago? At Easter, Sharon and I had 3 Easter eggs each. Sharon's still got an Easter egg and a half. Mine have long gone. I think they lasted about 10 days, which is probably a bit of a record for me. I know when I was young, they probably wouldn't make it to the morning service on Easter Sunday. They'd be gone. And for those of us who lack discipline, daily answers to daily prayers are incredibly useful. When I first started working, I was paid weekly for a little while, and then I began to be paid monthly when I got promoted, in essence. And as I was paid monthly, that first month or two was really hard, because by about a fortnight, all my money had gone. And God wants us to understand that he will give us what we need every day. He will give us what we need every day. You see, if God was to just deal with our prayers on a monthly basis, What if you needed something in the middle of the month? You'd have to wait a whole month to go back to God so you could get an answer from him. But God's not like that. He gives us daily bread for daily prayers. It means we can't, as it were, run out of provision because we can always go back and get what we need. We pray at the beginning of the day for things that we need throughout the day, and we've got what we need. So that's one reason, I think, where God answers daily prayers. But there's another reason. And the other reason God asks us to pray daily is because he wants to see us daily, if I can put out that. He wants to meet with us daily. He doesn't just want to see us from time to time. He wants to see us every day. He wants us to be able to understand that actually he cares for us and loves us. He doesn't want a distant relationship where every now and again we go back to him. He wants us to understand that he wants to see us every day. He wants to see us every day. What a great encouragement to know. You see, there are many people who would get fed up with us. One of the things that makes Sharon fed up about me very often is that maybe I'm working upstairs and I come down, and I'll come down and my first question very often is, what's for dinner? Or what's for tea? Maybe you've got children like that. Sharon gets very frustrated with it. God doesn't get frustrated when we go back to him time after time after time and ask for our daily bread. He doesn't get frustrated by that. Now, our God can be relied on every day. Our God gives us all that we need. You see, when we're talking about bread here, we're talking about the things that we need. It was the staple diet for the people of that day. And this is a prayer for things that we need. It's not a prayer for our greed. This is not a prayer for steak and roast potatoes. It's not a prayer for wine and caviar. It's a prayer for bread. It's a prayer for bread. There's a problem here, maybe, that some of us are so rich. Some of us don't really need to think about our daily bread. But John Calvin, who lived in a time and knew real poverty at times and knew poverty around him, says, unless God feed us daily, the largest accumulation of the necessities of life will be of no avail. You see, this prayer teaches us that we can have a bank balance that's full, we can have cupboards that are full, we can have everything apparently that we think we need. But unless we pray to God for our daily bread, Calvin goes on to say, we may have abundance of corn and wine and everything else, but unless they are watered by the secret blessing of God, they will suddenly vanish, or we will be deprived of the use of them, or they will lose their natural power to support us, so that we shall famish in the midst of plenty. It's been the situation in times gone by. The book of Haggai is all about that, of people whose purses are full and yet find them empty, of people who have so much, but it just doesn't seem to get anywhere. Maybe your life is like that. Maybe you've got kind of so much that you feel as though you've got everything you'd want for. As you were growing up, you wanted a nice family, and you've got that. You wanted your own home, and you've got that. You wanted a satisfying job, and you've got that. You've got everything you need, and yet it doesn't satisfy, and it doesn't fulfill. And maybe the reason for that is that you're not praying this prayer. Maybe the reason for that is you're not praying, give us this day our daily bread. Maybe the reason for your lack of fulfillment is that you think you have everything you need, but there's a whole bunch of needs that God wants to meet in your life that you don't even know that you need. And by coming to God every day and praying, Lord, Father, give me our daily bread, you'd find that your needs were met in him. And that spiritual area of your life that maybe you've neglected, you'd find fulfillment in that too. And you'd find that God was supplying your every need.